A gambling research group within the federal government's Institute of Family Studies is calling for much tighter rules around the advertising of gambling to children. Now, the Australian Gambling Research Centre says that gambling advertising is having a really serious impact on children, and the approach to gambling advertising should draw on elements of the campaigns that were similar around tobacco and alcohol, and also junk food as well. Now, the centre's manager, Dr. Rebecca Jenkinson, joins us now. Thanks for your time, Rebecca.
No problem. Thanks, Bill.
How bad is the situation, do you think, at the moment?
Look, what we're seeing, as you mentioned earlier, is that young people are being exposed to gambling advertising, particularly within sports we've been looking at, but also in computer games, on social media, in a range of areas they're being exposed to gambling advertising. And as you mentioned, they're seeing it now as a normal part of sport and other activities. So what we wanted to do is think, well, what can we be doing to better prevent and minimise harm from gambling, particularly for young children who are growing up in this environment? So we did look to some other areas of public health. So we looked to tobacco control, for example, and to alcohol policy to really look at what can we be doing. And a key thing for us was that we really need to be restricting that advertising.
I have to agree with you because I love watching sport. We watch sport at home, and the saturation throughout just about every sport is it's phenomenal. And as a father with we've got four kids and one that does spend too much time on screen, it disturbed me that we're noticing that coming through in the games that they're getting really into and almost addicted to now. I wasn't aware of the proliferation of it through the games, but that's a real problem, isn't it?
Yeah, look, it is. And we've done some research recently with a group of young men. Their average age was 25, so we don't know a lot about when young people do start to bet. We know that a lot of them do start to bet before they're 18, but we've done some other research that's really found when sports betting is normalised for them, so when it's, you know, part of their social activities, engagement with friends, but just part of watching games as well, they are experiencing harm. So we're seeing it. The evidence is coming through that, for example, in our study, that young men who are betting weekly or more often, they were really likely to be spending money across a range of sports, to use multiple online betting accounts. So some of them had six or more betting accounts. And they were being motivated by a range of things. A lot of it was about, yeah, I enjoy a punt, those sorts of things. But also some of them were being motivated by boredom and chasing losses. So we're already seeing some young men, but who are betting on sports who are experiencing harm. That's why we're really focused on, okay, we need to really think about how we can reduce that harm and to restrict advertising, as you're saying. And look, there is some work being done. The Australian government has put in a code of practice for advertising for wagering operators, but we think that can go further. For example, the code that's in place at the moment says that, okay, wagering operators can't advertise during live sport up until 8:30 p.m. But in Victoria, where I'm based, AFL games don't often start until 7:50. So by half time, the wagering operators are allowed to advertise, but kids aren't going to bed at half time and teenagers aren't. So we can see some areas, some opportunities where we could restrict advertising further.
So are we in danger of creating a bit of a generation of problem gamblers? How young did you say you're finding some of them are gambling?
Look, the average age of these guys was 25 who were already experiencing harm, and they were pretty, I guess, what we would call a really socially integrated, high-functioning group. So these are guys who are, you know, working, studying, university degrees, securely accommodated. So, you know, they're you know, young men who are engaged otherwise in lots of other kind of social aspects of life, but they're already experiencing. So one in four of these young guys would be classified as being experiencing high levels of gambling-related harm. So it is a focus, and that's why we want to reduce that harm. And we think part of it is about advertising promotions and the promotions as well. So, you know, people who bet on sports and are signed up to some of these wagering accounts, you know, they get sent text messages, emails, all of those sorts of things about, you know, put $50 on, we'll match it. So there's a lot of opportunities to kind of start to restrict some of those activities that are happening.
There's so many players in that market, in that Australian market now. Is kids and gamblers just seeing it as normal part of life, normal part of sport?
Yeah, they are. Look, there are some good moves again, with the AFL here in Victoria, so all 10 of the Victorian AFL clubs have signed up to a responsible gambling charter, which means that, I mean, I think they're really showing some leadership there, and I hope that other, there's some other sporting codes, Cricket Victoria, some other codes who are signed up to that. But I think, I mean, we need to see leadership from those guys, from the big, you know, the organisations who, they're the games we're watching. We want to see them lead the way. And so they've signed up to that charter, which is really them saying that they want to reduce the exposure of their fans and players to this type of advertising.
And, of course, we've got the dilemma for all these big sporting bodies. I remember not too many years back when the Major Rugby League competition was sponsored by a tobacco company, and we could see the signage all around the grounds. Will we ever get to the stage where there's a call for a total ban on betting advertising? But they're so reliant on it for funding and sponsorship.
They are so reliant, aren't they? We would like to see that over time that this is phased out. So over a reasonable period, I guess, it is phased out and replaced by alternative revenue streams for some of the big leagues. And I think what we've seen from tobacco, and it took a long time, but it's worked. We've seen where it's worked in terms of public health kind of measures, and, you know, we've seen reductions in smoking, particularly among young people. So there are real lessons we can take from that. It will take a while, but I am optimistic that, you know, if we've got some of the big sporting leagues coming on board, if the government can introduce more regulation, we can start to see some changes.
All right, let's hope so. Great to chat to you this afternoon. Thank you, Dr. Rebecca Jenkinson, talking about this problem of gambling exposure from the Australian Gambling Research Centre.